Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up! I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is off to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another special edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Not much. Much better than last week. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Well, we have a common theme from last week because about 10 minutes ago I got a text saying that our other co-host is having a family emergency and she can't do the show, so it looks like it's just me and you today.
Oh, good. Short show then, right?
It should be a short show considering Couture is our memory man who I depend on, so I don't have to take notes or anything. I just let him jog my memory, and unfortunately he's not here today. So this could be the shortest show ever.
Well, I guess we could take some calls and talk some wrestling and some weddings and some Brits and maybe even some UFC since Katrina's not here, and so forth and so on.
I named this the title of the show in honor of the royal wedding. So we'll spend just a couple minutes on that. Did you see any of the royal wedding this morning?
No, because it started around 4 o'clock in the morning here in the Seattle area.
I got home around probably close to 6 in the morning. And as soon as I got on Facebook, all the Euros on my friends list were posting about it. So I turned on the TV. I didn't even have to pick find a channel. I just, whatever channel I had the TV on, it was covered because I think every channel basically was covering it this morning. And I didn't see the actual wedding. I basically saw them being driven to, I guess, Buckingham Palace or whatever. And then well, they had, like, you know, everyone get out, and then I saw the, they kept making this big deal for, like, half an hour, 40 minutes about this big, giant kiss that was going to happen, and I was actually watching it when they came out, and it was actually kind of cool, but it was, like, basically, a peck on the list. It was, like, the American reporter was, like, very disappointed
right.
How much of a nothing of a kiss it was. It was actually quite hilarious. I actually had a good laugh out of it this morning.
I did notice that this was a way bigger deal for our UK listeners than it was for anybody here in the States over the age of 20 who is not female. So, you know, if you're female, this is a big, huge thing because every girl dreams of meeting their prince. And with fellas, with, you know, the people I hang with, not so much, not really a big deal. But, you know, if it wasn't for Matt Cleary and some of his family and some of our other Euro boarders, Markin and so forth and so on, this would be a non-story today.
Well, one of our good friends, Bluefist, his woman, Irish Carbomb, or Audrey, is a huge, like, she actually told me what the word is, but it's a real complicated word that I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying to say, but it's somebody who's into English shit or whatever. And apparently she was making weird noises while this whole wedding was going on. according to Blue Sister's Facebook, she was making like weird noises the whole time. So.
Right.
There were, I guess you're right. It was the women that were very happy about this. But I will say this, I hadn't followed this story. I had no idea. I haven't heard about the prince for like years. And, you know, I heard he was getting married, but I knew nothing about the bride. But I got to say, the princess, soon to be queen or whatever, she's pretty fine. She's pretty striking looking.
Yeah, she's an attractive young lady. I'll give him that. At the time, Princess Diana was a striking young lass as well. And we all know how that turned out, right?
Yeah, and to go back even further, before our time, but our parents would know, Princess Willie Grace, Prince Grace.
Okay.
Yeah, there was another princess who married, and I think she ended up, unfortunately, getting killed and actually got decapitated. And but she was, like, really, really beautiful for the time, so.
Wow,
you know, there's a theme
common,
here.
There is a common
theme there. I hope I didn't jinx it for the new prince, the princess.
Well.
But anyway, since it is the royal wedding, I kind of thought, well, a lot of the English listeners were bringing up that we should do a show on English wrestlers, which, to be honest, it's kind of a cool idea, but I don't really know enough English wrestlers to do a whole show on. And
well, let's get back to the weddings for a minute, because I actually found a page online of all the wrestling weddings over the years.
Yeah, well, I was just over to, I was just about to, what do you call it, just switch over to the wedding. So Katrina suggested we do weddings, so I was like, well, that's perfect for today. So I think I know what page you're going to talk about, so why don't you tell everyone what page you are talking about?
Oh, goodness, I am at prowrestling.wiki.com.
Oh, I thought you were going to say iwantwrestling.com.
No. I was going to use that one, but I found a thorough list here. And this one not only includes WWE, but also USWA, USA Pro Wrestling. There's some Impact Zone Wrestling here, and TNA, and WCW, and so forth and so on. So I've got quite a few of them, actually.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's start off with ones that would probably be the USWA. I'm very curious to hear who got married in Memphis.
Okay, let me run down the list here. I'm sorry, it's not USWA, it's USA Pro Wrestling. I apologize.
USA Pro. Okay.
But this involved a Simon Diamond and Matt Stryker, but the wedding was in 2003, and it was Mike Cruel and Becky Bayless were the bride and groom, and this happened in April of 2003 in Queens, New York. And much like other wrestling weddings, Bayless dumped Cruel just before the completion of him saying, "I do," saying he was boring and an idiot. And then she claimed Stryker got her pregnant. And then a big brawl ensued. Now, this has got to be a work because, let's be honest, Matt Stryker's still a virgin, right?
Yeah. Well, it could have been the other Matt Stryker. But Becky Bayless, I'm sorry if I didn't say that name right, isn't she Cookie from TNA?
I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100%, so I won't say yes or no, but I'm pretty sure that is, in fact, the girl we're talking about.
Well, yeah, she's all right. I think she's pretty cute. I'm not really familiar with the guy she dumped, but, you know, yeah, we all know the annoying Mark Stryker, who's probably, I don't know, who's more annoying, Stryker or Michael Cole?
It's a toss-up, but I'm going to say Cole, but Cole is fabulous in his role as heel, but that's another story for another time. The very first wedding we have on here was actually dated December 18th of 1984, which really wasn't that long ago. Paul Vachon and Ophelia.
Huh. Paul, that's the butcher, Vachon. I'm not mistaken, that's the butcher. And Ophelia. And you said 84. Was it on TV or what's the circumstance?
Yes, it was on
that wedding.
It was on Tuesday Night Titans on December 18th, 1984. Apparently, Captain Lou Albano objected to the wedding at first, but then he found out Ophelia was not a virgin, and he had no problems when letting the wedding continue until Dr. D. David Schultz entered the ring, and the vows were exchanged. He body slammed the groom at the reception, and Dr. David Schultz started a good fight, it says here.
I just barely have just a vague memory of that. You think something like that would really stick out, but I just that barely stands out. But if I'm not mistaken, I think I know what would be the very next wedding.
Okay.
And that would probably be Uncle Elmore.
Yes, sir, and Joyce. This was Saturday night's main event, number 2, October 3rd, 1985, emanating from East Rutherford, New Jersey. The wedding took place on the second edition of Saturday night's main event. When the audience asked if anybody was in objection to this marriage, Roddy Piper came out and said the wrestling ring was no place to get married and insulted Uncle Elmer and the rest of his hillbilly family.
That was actually a pretty funny one. I remember the bride, if I'm not mistaken. I'm thinking she was somehow related to, maybe they didn't say it, but I think she was related to George the Animal Steel, because if I'm not mistaken, I think she had a green tongue.
Okay.
You don't remember that?
I do not remember this. This was a long time ago. Of course.
Yeah, she stuck it out at the end a couple times. She had a green tongue. I know it. I don't think I was doing drugs at that time, so I'm pretty sure my memory's right.
To continue on, it says, on commentary, Desi Ventura made fun of the couple and went as far as to say that the kiss looked like two carps going after the same piece of corn. At the end of the night, Ventura's face was being forced into a wedding cake, and the most amazing part of the story is that Hillbilly Jim said the wedding was real, and Uncle Elmer and Joyce left the building, man and wife.
Uncle Elmer, I mean, that dude was what, about 500 pounds and could barely move. It was Uncle Elmer, Hillbilly Jim, and Cousin Luke.
Big men, yes.
Well, Cousin Luke was actually kind of small. He just really looked like he was a country bumpkin. But Uncle Elmer was a huge, huge dude. Could barely move. And basically, he had only been around for maybe, a few months before the wedding, and then wasn't around very much after that. So very short run for Uncle Elmer, but the wedding was very memorable. I still remember that wedding.
And the number 3 on this list is probably the most famous one of my era. Of course, Randy Savage and Elizabeth. This took place at SummerSlam 1991 in New York City. And everybody knows the ceremony happened without a hitch, but then at the reception, Jake the Snake Roberts had slipped a box into the gifts, and the box contained a cobra, and of course it gnawed on the Macho Man's arm later on. But anyway, yeah, that was one of the most famous ones when I was a kid.
That I think to this day, I think that's still the most famous one because it has the longest build, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically the build for this started when they first appeared on WWE TV and he was being like a dick to her. And then, you know, he was a dick to her for like the longest time. And then when he became a face, and of course they were cool. And then until he slowly got jealous of Hulk Hogan and then turned on her. And then went with Sherry, but then when Sherry turned on him, Elizabeth came and saved him, and then they had that big moment where literally people were literally crying, tears rolling down their eyes when they reunited and kissed in the ring, and then which led to the wedding. And I just watched part of it from iwantwrestling.com, and Macho Man is wearing like a white and gold, like. But like what he would normally wear, but actually look like wedding attire, but still in his, like what he would normally look like, with a cowboy hat with a giant white feather. And
right.
I just remember they had like everybody, they had a lot of extras because they didn't really use a lot of wrestling people in the wedding party. But one of the people they used was like everyone shaking, you know, congratulating, shaking their hands. And you see Bobby Heenan just in line, just shaking his head, and he walks up to Macho Man. He can't even look at Macho Man. He just keeps shaking his head, and walks away, shaking his head. And Macho Man's like, I feel sorry for you too, Bobby. And that led to what you said, where they started opening the presents. And this is actually one of the few times where Elizabeth got, like, more than one word or two words, where she actually got to talk for a little bit. And, you know, they're opening the presents, and then, of course, there's the cobra. And I liked how they would zoom in on the cobra, and you see the cobra, like, kind of, like, shaking or, like, wanting to strike. And, and I just remember it was just so awesome. And then I totally had forgotten until I just watched this, but it was Sid Justice who made the save.
Yeah.
Of all people. Yeah. So then Jake and Undertaker took off, and then it led to one of the most famous scenes in all of pro wrestling, when a giant fucking King Cobra went into business for himself.
That's right.
Went into business for himself and fucked up the Macho Man, the arm, dude. Just locked on that thing like a pit bull. And you can just see the blood coming out of it. Like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
Are they supposed to be showing this on TV?
Yeah, that was something to see. Oddly enough, the King Kong Bundy didn't get involved and actually try to squish the Cobra, but that would take place later on. Now, speaking of Randy Savage, next up we have Stephanie McMahon and The Undertaker in April of 1999 on Raw, and this was the Unholy Ceremony.
Wait a minute. I knew Stephanie was in two, so Stephanie was in three weddings?
She is our slut of the weddings. I'm counting four here.
Four? Oh, my God. Okay, well, let's start
yes,
with this
sir.
One because this one's slipping my memory here.
Okay, this was the Unholy Ceremony. This is one where basically Vince McMahon, and it was a highlight of the Vince McMahon and Steve Austin feud. Undertaker kidnapped Stephanie and was forcing her into a dark marriage to please the higher power. The ceremony was presided over by Paul Bearer, while Stephanie was in a black dress and attached to the Undertaker's sacrificial symbol. The Undertaker's corporate ministry prevented Stephanie from being saved, but Steve Austin was able to interrupt the ceremony. He was thanked by his new friend, Vince McMahon, who in 2 weeks later was revealed as the higher power.
I remember that. Okay, I remember that now. But, Yeah, I remember that. I remember that whole dark ministry, and who was in the dark ministry? You had, like, the Acolytes were in it. You had Minion was in it. Was Viscera in it?
At one time, I think he was, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a trip. I remember, didn't they, like, crucify Ryan Shamrock, like, a week or two before?
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, they had,
sounds
they
right.
Had like a cross, and I remember that. We're actually getting a call here, so I kind of arranged for a replacement co-host, so I don't know if this is him or not. Caller calling from area code 818. Who's this?
It's Lagana. What's up?
Hey, what's up, how you doing?
I'm great. See, I'd put out the bat signal, and I gladfully had nothing going on for the next little bit as I watched the NFL draft and scratch my ass. So,
in that order, I hope.
No, I'm scratching my ass. I'm watching the NFL draft. And
okay.
You know.
We were just running down lists of weddings in pro wrestling, and we've actually made it to April 26th of 1999 when The Undertaker wed Stephanie McMahon, but was foiled by one Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, that one didn't make my list because I couldn't find a good video, and I already had, I thought the Kane, I know we'll get to it, the Kane-Lita one with Trish and the thing was a much better, hey, by the way, I'm forcing you to marry me wedding because Trish looked hot in it. Not that Stephanie didn't look hot in her black dress, but I think, you know, all things equal, Trish, even Paul Heyman just tweeted about how hot Trish looked in the article I put up, so So yeah, so I don't think I ever watched that wedding live. I think I watched it on tape. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. So yes, what were your guys' thoughts on that wedding? Do you like forced weddings? Is that how you're gonna get married someday?
With a shotgun, yeah. Really happens. Actually,
hey,
I really don't plan on ever getting married, so hopefully I won't have to do that. But I actually, I kind of had forgot about this until Craig brought it up, but I actually remember enjoying it. You know, you just can't go wrong with a wrestling wedding for the most part, but I thought it was pretty cool. But going to Trish, I think that's the single hottest Trish ever looked. I mean, I think that's her fucking peak. I don't think you can ever fucking top that. She looked so goddamn hot in that fucking outfit. It was unreal.
If you need a moment, you can put us on mute.
Now, that was number 4 on our list. Number 5 just came a few months later in November 29th of 1999 when Stephanie tried to marry Test but ended up in the ring married to one Triple H on the same show, WWE Raw.
Now, that wedding came right after, if you remember, a little storyline history, and this was 3 years before I worked there, but Russo had set that whole thing up, you know what I mean, the wedding, and he had left, so I don't know if he didn't tell them what he was planning on doing or what the pitch was. So that's why, remember Stephanie got hit in the head with a trash can and got amnesia for about a month or whatever it was? It was them trying to figure it out. So, that's why that was delayed. And I thought, as far as importance to the history of the business, yeah, that angle ended up being probably one of the most important in the history of the business. So it did. I mean, if they wouldn't have put Triple H and Stephanie together, who knows where the business would be right now? And I don't say it's as a good or a bad thing. I'm just saying, as far as importance in the history of the business, I can't think of one storyline that has had more impact, so to speak, as one. So.
Now, nowadays, they'll do like certain things, and there'll be like an uproar. Like people will be pretty critically correct about things, but I don't remember people being in an uproar that Hunter roofied Stephanie to marry her.
Yeah, but did they reveal that he did or didn't? I'm trying to remember.
Actually, the way it went down is Triple H actually stopped the wedding. And then showed a video on the screen of her being drugged, whatever, and they drove through the Chapel O' Love.
Right.
And as you remember, Triple H said, "I do," and then Stephanie, "Do you do?" And he did the "I do," and they were hitched in a drive-thru.
But a month later, you know, she turned on Vince. So did they ever assume, like, when did she decide to go with the evil man? Like, was it pre-drugging or after-drugging? Because I think that'd be a bad start to a relationship. I've never tried to drug anyone, besides what you'll read on the internet. You know, the many litany of things that I supposedly have done in my life, which none of which are true. I can't imagine you ever come back with, "Hey, remember that time I drugged you and married you?" Don't you think that would be a good excuse to get together? So, I don't know.
Yeah, but weirder things have happened. If you remember Luke, Frank, Laura, and they still got married on General Hospital, so.
That's true. I should probably line you guys up if you're a big soap opera people with my buddy Sam Ford, who I do the podcast with, who loves this. Ed, if you love soap operas, he's your man to talk to. Or maybe he's your man to marry. Who knows?
Yeah, well, hopefully not married.
Okay. I think Sam's
now, meanwhile, on the other channel, September 11th of 2000, Stacy Keibler and David Flair. Stacy Keibler stopped her own wedding ceremony to inform Flair that he was not the father of her baby. David Flair went into a rampage trying to find the other identity of the real father, convinced it was Buff Bagwell. The storyline was eventually abandoned, and the actual father was never found out.
Well, I thought the she walked out with a baby carriage, and it was full of pictures. I remember something like that from the head trauma-inducing WCW of that year. Like, she remember her walking out with the with a baby carriage and it had pictures in it. So,
and wasn't Meat involved with her at the time, too?
Yeah, I think it was, and thankfully some of this has been pulled off YouTube, as not to indulge in the head-bashing again. I think this is also when I was working at Friends. What, did you say September 11th, 2000?
Yes.
No, actually, I was working on a different show. That's right. This is that might have been the time period that I got in a email war. I had written a letter to Dave about the Bill Goldberg Tank Abbott shoot fake fight, where we were, you know what I mean? Like, he was talking about how this is a shoot. So I had suggested in my letter to Dave that there should be a lady at ringside that wears a sign, like in a bikini, of course, or something of the effect, wears a sign when it's a shoot, it says shoot, and when she flips it, it's a work. So everyone in the audience at least knows when it's a shoot and a work, and at least it's something good looking to look at. So, and then Vince Russo went on and bashed the Cheers writer, even though it was a Friends writer, who was questioning his creative. So this was way back when. So.
Now, as I remember, when I was reading Brian's sheet at the time, they were actually going with the fact that it would turn out that Ric Flair was the father of Stacy Keibler's unborn child.
Yes. As you can see, they didn't do that for a good reason.
Sure, because it wouldn't have been funny or nothing.
Craig, one of a handful of people reading Brian Allard's newsletter back then.
I have copy number, 15 somewhere in this home. So,
Mark.
You're a pack rat, Craig.
I am. I just kept, like the first 10 that I found and just kept them. And then I found out Granny had all of them, so I, took a trip to the recycling one day.
You pilfered Granny's house?
What's that?
You pilfered Granny's house?
No. I've had them forever, and then I found out Granny had actually kept every single one of them. And so I just got rid of a ton of them.
A quick question. When is the Vegas weekend? Just to go completely off.
Memorial weekend. The last weekend in May. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I know you're bugging me about it. I just found out I'm going to Chicago for the ROH show, but that's the 21st. So still TBD. TBD to meet all my favorite people. So.
Well, I'll determine it right now. You're showing up. You're only a couple hours away by driving anyway.
But yeah, because gas is cheap, and I drive a very inexpensive gas-guzzling car. I think it'd probably be cheaper for me to hitchhike. So watch out for my thumb.
Filled up my 1996 Dodge 1500 pickup today. Gets about 11 miles a gallon. $89.
That's brutal. Check
this out. I you guys are slowly getting used to gas prices slowly going up. But when I bought my Jeep, I got a deal where I got gas for $2.99. So I get gas for $2.99 till the end of July, and at the end of July, I go from $2.99 to probably $4+. So, right now I'm doing okay with gas, but it's going to kick my ass at the end of July. I'm just scared, just waiting to see my bill when it gets here.
That's why I work from home and I drive my car. I literally decided I'm going to go somewhere. Like, today was my errand day, so I went to had to fax something, and then I had to pick up my mail and get my rent check. And, today was the going out day. Tomorrow, I live walking distance of Universal Studios in Hollywood. So, anybody wants to stalk me, feel free. And I just walk everywhere that I need to around here. So it's much easier. It's much easier and cheaper than driving in L.A. So, but anyway.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, getting this train back on track. We got number 8.
Man, we're not
going
to do that. Go ahead.
Oddly enough, February 11th, 2002, Stephanie McMahon and Triple H. A few years later, Stephanie and Hunter were on the verge of divorce. She concocted a scheme to renew their vows, but when she tried to she asked an actor to portray a doctor to tell Triple H that she was pregnant. Prior to the ceremony, Triple H found out the truth and did not reveal it until the end of the ceremony. He gave his father-in-law the pedigree and let Stephanie know that it was over between them.
Yes, and that's famous for a few things. That was the Stephanie roar, if you remember remember the video package of her roaring. Also for me, the day of that wedding was on a Monday, obviously, and then SmackDown was on a Tuesday, and then that Wednesday I flew to Connecticut for my interview to work for WWE. That's what I always remember, that wedding. And I remember seeing Stephanie I flew Tuesday because I interviewed Wednesday, Thursday. That's right, because it was the 14th. So I flew Tuesday, so And I remember just how gorgeous she was in person. You know, having watched the wedding and just going, my God, she's an unbelievable, like one of the most naturally pretty people I've ever met in my life. In my interview, going, this is okay. I can go home now. Even if I don't get the job, I got to meet Steph, which was cool. And then yeah, then they rushed through that whole thing, but the pregnancy and the all that stuff. You know, that was the end of the Attitude Era. I'll just say that much. So.
Yeah, that one wasn't as good as the previous one.
No. I mean, it was hard to. And, you know, the people like Triple H, and they had kind of watered him down with Stephanie for about a month. But you were kind of like, you didn't know. So I think they needed to get him away from her. And then led to the infamous Jericho picks up Stephanie's dog poop storyline.
Which I just read about.
Was this also around the Kurt Angle storyline?
Kurt, yeah, this was the Kurt storyline was 2000, so it was a year. This was 2 years later. Remember, because that was when either they had just turned Kurt, or I don't remember. But no, this was years later. Then she ended up with Kurt for a little bit before she ended up going off with Jericho. So yeah, that's damn it. I gotta jog my memory sometimes. So.
Moving right along, probably the most famous wedding of all times, and I've been hearing it over and over again today. WWE's Friday Night SmackDown, September 12th of 2002, we've had Billy and Chuck.
Oh, my favorite, actually.
I'm sure
the one that got them in trouble with GLAAD.
That didn't get them in trouble with GLAAD. Come on. If GLAAD was smart enough, they would have read the spoilers before they gave them the gravy boat.
That's right.
I'm sorry. The internet was well established in 2002. You'd think somebody here would have figured out that they were taped before they went on the Today Show 2 days later and then got caught with their pants down, so to speak. I mean, that was – I still to this day – if that was live on Raw, that would probably be one of the most talked about things that WWE ever did, because no one knew about Bischoff. I mean, no one.
Right.
I mean, he had fooled poor Kusama Basatidi, who is kind of Kevin Dunn's right-hand man or woman. And, like, she was, like, had to take care of him all day. And he was like, honey, can I get some whiskey? And she's like, oh, I don't know if I'm allowed to give you, like, can't give you whiskey. He kept asking for it. Like, he was awesome that day as that character. Like, that, I mean, and he pulled that off. Because, the way they had him situated with his back to the camera, and I put this video up on my wedding story that I put up today. You know, the way it was, you didn't really pay a lot of attention to him. And, you know, for years, in all those weddings, the person administering the wedding was always kind of secondary, so you really didn't pay much attention to him. And then when he says 3 minutes and he takes that off, I mean, those people, Seth Mace and I always, we watched it together in the crowd, and it was just one of those moments that you'll never forget. And then the best part of the whole thing was, the original pitch was Rosie and Jamal were going to run in, or whatever they were called at the time.
3 minute warning,
we're going to get the Steph, but they weren't going to lay her out. So we're standing there and go, okay, so when are Billy and Chuck going to get up and stop them? And then they give Steph the Samoan drop, and we're like, okay, that's a little bit more, you know. And then, you know, all SmackDown runs out, and I'm like, well, that's a hot angle, but wasn't anything we had talked about. You know, it obviously the agents had changed it kind of before it went. So so that was what I remember from
now,
that.
Let's talk about the big story from that whole thing. How did GLAAD go about getting their gravy boats back? Did they send an email? Did they call? Did someone just show up on the door knocking? I mean, how did that go come about?
I don't know if they ever got it back, did they? I mean, all I remember was they were mad after the fact, but again, the show was taped on September 10th, I think, because I remember Seth Mates and I flew back to New York City on September 11th, 2002, a year after, and just I'll never forget that day on that, you know, flying back, and there were reporters in the plane who were taking pictures of people sleeping, and I stopped the lady. I said, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I'm with this paper. I'm like, okay. She goes, well, you know, I'm like, well, we're just doing a story of people flying to New York. I said, did you ask these people permission? She's like, no, but I'm going to ask after. I said, yeah, but you already got their image. I said, you need to stop right now. I said, there's enough. I said, I know at least five people on this plane who were trapped because of September 11th last year. Oh, what are their names? I said, I'm not telling you. I said, these people, if they wanted to talk about it, they'd talk about it. Not you hounding them and taking their pictures and waking them up to ask them about it. So that's all I remember from that. But the gravy boat, I have no idea. I just remember sitting watching it on the Today Show going, so anyway.
That, what was like Stephanie or Vince's reaction to the glass coming down on them like this?
I don't remember, honestly. I just remember laughing because it was just like, you know, and I don't. But the thing was, I think Chuck had said the famous line. Not that there's anything wrong with it. It was not anything anti-gay. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Except, I mean, there were some, you know, the Ho Train stuff. But I mean, there was nothing that was strongly that would be, you know, anti-gay in that thing from my memory. And of course, someone mm-hmm. will point out how bad my memory is. But I don't know. Organizations sometimes will do stuff like that. Smoking organization that came out against Our Truth. They did it for publicity.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Sure. Like, I mean, it's how many people, granted, the number of people who smoke on TV is way down from what it was, let's say, 5, 10, 20 years ago. But, you know, give me a break. It's just everybody's out for a little publicity, which is fine. But you just need to kind of look yourself in the face and say, is that what you're really out for?
Right. Because if you do anything in the public eye, you're going to find somebody who disapproves of it, no matter what
mm-hmm.
it is.
Of course. Because people like to live in the negativity and, oh, this is against us. Actually, no, we had no intention of even thinking about you this way, but well, we're making it
sure.
about us. So,
yeah.
Okay.
I know. It's like those people on the board who said I didn't have any credibility because I said when I saw a UFO, I was stoned at the time. I mean, give me a break.
You're putting credibility in the board? Dude, I'm just saying. And I know the board loves all of us. The board loves itself. I'd like to see the board comment on the board. So, and discuss.
And discuss. Next up, number 10, Friday Night SmackDown, January 2nd of 2003, at the famous Al Wilson and Don Murray.
Oh, yeah, I wrote that one.
I bet you did.
Oh, I wrote the shit out of that one. that was probably the worst week of my life. Actually, that was the worst, best, like, 4 months of my life. The Al Wilson, as some of you may not have noticed, was not the best thespian in the world. He would forget lines. He would, he was not a great actor. His actually best acting performance, and someone pulled it off YouTube, was we were in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I had Funaki grill him about his relations with Don Marie, and I had him do just basically a straight Bill Clinton parody. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. That was the best. That
right.
was the best thing he ever did. But the wedding was supposed to be a very straightforward thing, where Dawn was going to demand that Tori be her maid of honor, and Al basically said he was going to apologize for all the mean things he had said to Tori, and he wanted her at the wedding. And you know, they were going to basically make this whole show to embarrass Tori, and she was going to stop the wedding and break it up and blah, blah, blah. A writer at the time said, I don't think that's very reality-based. I said, what do you mean reality-based? What are you throwing words around that you don't even understand? I said, your father is marrying your enemy, and they are inviting you to the wedding to mock you and screw with you. You wouldn't say anything? I just don't think that would really happen. I said, I don't think any of this would really happen, but, you know, give me a break. So so that's how we ended up with the naked wedding, because Vince was like, I guess he's right. This wouldn't really happen. I said, yes, Dawn Marie would never actually date Al Wilson. I'm willing to bet that would never happen, but this is a television show, and stupider shit has happened. So so he's like, well, goddamn, what are we going to do with this wedding now? You booked it. Get yourself out of it. I'm like, I said, all right, genius, what are you going to do, the one who didn't like it? And somehow we ended up with a naked wedding. included Al Wilson's drawers being shoved, stuffed with a double-ended dildo. I'm not kidding. Go back and look when Don Marie, he's gyrating about to pull it down. Legitimately. Actually, three if you count the little turtle popping out there. So,
I just remember for the longest, for like a week or two, I actually thought Al Wilson was Les Thatcher.
People had thought that, and we probably should have hired Les Thatcher because Les would have been a lot better in the role. You don't understand. I would show. I think there was one thing of his that I didn't get to direct or produce, which was the Halloween party when he showed up as Fonzie, and it was Brian Gore, I'll never forget, trying to teach him how to say A, and he just went, yo. And he's like, no, it's A. And he couldn't get it. So.
He forgot his line.
He had one line, and it was an iconic television show line that he just couldn't seem to get, so.
Yeah, but you got to kind of give him a break because a lot of the times when he was giving those lines, he was being groped by Don Marie, and I don't know if I could deliver lines if I was being groped by Don Marie.
She was feeding him the lines. She would have to learn both ends, and sometimes, because it was SmackDown, we would edit around her feeding him the lines. I said, why are we doing this? Is this just to make me grow old? And I think it was. I think it was a rip. But here is, and I told this story, I think, on a podcast. If not, I've told it other places. The original end of the story, like the funeral, like we knew she was going to fuck him to death. But at the funeral, as Tori's crying over the casket, Al Wilson was supposed to pop awake, and because Dawn had given him a drug to slow his heart down so he would think she was dead, or that she would think he was dead. Going to go, see, the only time you cared about me was when I was dead. That's the only time you cried. You're a horrible daughter. I'm dead to you from now on. Don't ever talk to me again. And he was going to walk out of the funeral home, out the front door, and as the door swung open and he walked out, bang, a bus
car.
Hit him. Oh yeah, a car or a bus. And that was sadly we did not sadly, we did not get to do the ending that Vince loved. He loved the ending, but I think after the wedding, he just had enough of Al. He thought the joke was over, so just kill him. So that was 6 months of my life I'll never get back. But it's a hell of a story. So.
I like your ending better, but yes, we never saw Al Wilson again because Don Marie oversexed him to death, which...
We did a funeral.
What a way to go.
We did a funeral, and we put up a death date on the man. I just saw it in the video I put up. He said the man died.
Right.
And he was alive. He used to apparently used to go to strip clubs in Boise, Idaho, and try to pick up chicks off of it. So more power to Al. And hopefully he kept the double-ended dildo. So.
I've been watching the video on your website the whole time we've been talking about it.
It's awesome. The music makes it. I think it's You Light Up My Life. Let me see. I'm going to play it on the show. I have my headphones on. Damn it. I think it's You Light Up My Life. And I was trying to figure out the order to do these in. And if you're going to do a wedding
1941
parody.
1941 to 2003.
Yeah. Remember, he had died in the new... But I guess... Oh, yeah, that was 2003. I had my year off, but because I remember I had flown on New Year's Day. I had spent New Year's Eve with my girlfriend and had to get up at 7 a.m. to catch a flight to go produce the Al Wilson-Dawn Marie wedding in Albuquerque, New Mexico. On New Year's Day. But, yeah, that was 2003. It was ridiculous. But picking Al Wilson to start off my wedding parody was probably the best choice because it's a very tongue-in-cheek article. You know what I mean? Like, because if you're going to talk about weddings, obviously it's not a very – there's never been a serious wedding except for Macho Man, and even that had the weird after-party thing angle that I haven't
right.
heard before. So.
You didn't think Uncle Elmer's was very serious?
Yeah, it was, I mean, that still got broken up, didn't it?
Did Tyson
break
them
up?
No, I remember them getting... I think something happened, but I think they ended up getting married. I just remember, and Craig doesn't remember this, but didn't the bride have a green tongue like George the Animal still?
Maybe. I just remember Piper got involved. Maybe Hogan stopped it. I have no idea. That was probably, I think it was 9 or 10 when this happened. And, yeah.
Oh, goodness. Next up, 2004, August 23rd, 2004 on Raw. Kane and Lita. To prevent her boyfriend Matt from being beaten up by Kane, Lita had sex with Kane. During this encounter, Lita became pregnant. A few weeks later, Matt lost the match to Kane, which the stipulation was that Lita would have to marry Kane. When Matt tried to stop the ceremony, Kane beat him up. A few months later, Kane and Lita lost their child when Gene Snitsky injured her during a match with Kane. And then a week later in Seattle, Washington, Gene punted a doll into the 12th row. I remember one of my buddies actually caught the baby doll, and that was fabulous.
Does he still have it?
I think he does, actually.
That's a collector's item. I can probably get Gene to sign it for him if you'd like. Gene follows me on Twitter, so
I'll check into it.
That had midgets. That wedding was in Anaheim, and that was a fabulous wedding. That might be one of my favorites. Again, Trish really brings it up a few bits. Even just her wink at the bottom of the ramp is awesome, and Lita's great in that because she's just standing there like. Just her reaction, like this forced wedding. Like I said, on forced weddings, hers is much better than the Stephanie forced wedding. I like that one. And then Snitsky, I think Snitsky fell on. I don't remember how it was, but Gene's like a jobber in that match. If you remember, that was Gene's mm-hmm. first appearance. It wasn't like he was built up. And I remember having to fly. To get Gene, and that's a story for another time, but like there was a point where Gene had like missed his connection or something, so they sent Vince's plane, and I was assigned his promo, so they sent me on the plane to go get Gene in a very misuse of company policy, but but it was necessary to get the angle over. So anyway, so yeah, that was Gene's awesome. I think Gene Snitsky could have. Produced Gene is a hell of a talent, and obviously has great size and all that stuff. And I think he's a very underutilized talent in the business's history. And I always enjoyed working with him. So,
yeah, you're leaving out an important thing though, and you know this guy, you'll hear Brian or Dave and them bash him all the time for being horrible, but Kane was freaking awesome in these weddings.
Oh, Kane,
I mean,
Kane was great. Kane went awesome.
Yeah, Kane in that tuxedo, just, you know, looking disgusted at times. And, I mean, he's just – Kane's always been one of my favorites. You know, I really freak out on how people really bash him as much as they do. But, I mean, put him in, like, a situation like that. I mean, what's funnier than fucking Kane in a fucking white fucking tuxedo?
Yeah, but you also have to remember, Kane in 2000 – Kane took the mask off summer of 2003. Was that the time period? Or was it summer of 2004?
If Katrina was here, he could tell you. But
if you're in a year, you're good.
Yeah, it's. But when he took that mask off, and remember, he lit JR on fire. He lit JR on fire. He was the first 5 weeks after he took the mask off. Kane was a giant ratings draw. The two characters. It must have been 2003 because 2004, I think, was Eugene. I think my years are right. Maybe I'm off by a year. But when Kane was in main events, remember he tombstoned Linda. They hit fours with Kane as the main character in all of those stories, and because he was new and they were focusing on him. Remember he was coming out in chains, like they would bring the paddy wagon. People really that version of that character got over immensely because of that change. And he was a great character then, and then even culminating with that wedding, it's when they started messing with the character after that again, where I think he got diluted, and a lot of people's dislike of Kane. But that period, Kane was awesome. Kane was a great character that year. So
I just remember, like, you know, moving up a little bit right before the Edge and Lita wedding, when I guess that he found out that they were together, and he's basically in the ring crying. And, I mean, it was just... Just a visual that's like this giant monster dude's just fucking crying, heartbroken over this. It's just awesome.
Why do you think his movie is the most successful theatrical release the company had? I mean, he's a good character that people really, really like. So I'll leave it.
I really think they I think they dropped the ball on him right after that Ross interview was, you know, kind of delusional and thinking that things are going on. And it was taking a really cool direction, and then they just kind of forgot about the direction they were going with him. And then instead of him hearing voices, now we have Randy Orton hearing voices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
I mean,
what are you going to do?
And now Cody Rhodes is doing the same storyline where he's disfigured but not.
Right. Exactly.
So, I'm a big fan of Kane's character. I think, obviously, you know, that was 7 years ago. It's hard for any character in any form of story to spend 7 years and not be diluted. It's impossible. And, you know, that character, just like Big Show, needs breaks. No one can work forever. You know what I mean? Like, as far as a character. Now, there is ways to keep them interesting, but specialized characters like that, it's really hard.
Yeah, they should actually do them like The Undertaker and take them off for a while. And I guess that's probably the only way to make them special again.
But it's also hard for these guys' contracts are structured. They only make money when they work. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword.
Actually, Ed brought up our next one, Edge and Lita, in 2005, June 20th of 2005. This was on Raw. Lita wearing only the second sluttiest wedding outfit I've ever seen in my life, but the other one was at a bachelor party, but we won't talk about that. And looked very amazing in this wedding gown. And they intertwined her tits.
Her tits in that time period were like she had the best tits as everybody in that time.
I'm sure they're still loving the moment.
This intertwined Kane and Lita, and also the real life story of Matt Hardy and Edge and Triangle and public sex on Raw and so forth and so on.
The public sex hadn't happened yet. The public
was
sex
later.
That was later because public sex was after he won the title, and this was before. This also was like a week or two before Matt came back. And they had played Matt's music in the middle of the wedding.
That's
and,
right.
And from my understanding is, we knew that Matt was coming back for like 3 weeks before he had come back, but no one knew. It was kept very quiet. In fact, when he attacked Edge backstage that night in Nassau, that was the first pretty much anyone had seen Matt. And then he ran out and he had promoted his ROH date that he had on that weekend. If you remember, he actually said ROH on WWE TV.
That's right.
And so, but when they had played the music, we thought that was a great way to get everybody. And then Kane came out from under the ring with his head popped up, and the minister, I think, fainted. And Oh, by the way, the Eagles are about to have their draft pick, so I might go a little nuts.
Oh, sweet. You better scratch yourself.
Wait, hold on. Okay.
The next one we have, September 21st of 2007, Friday Night SmackDown, Teddy Long and the very beautiful Crystal Marshall.
September of 2007, right?
Yes.
I was still there. That was the world's worst fake heart attack.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And that's why it was the greatest heart attack ever.
That's right.
Yes. I don't remember much of that. Was there not? There hadn't been a wedding between then, I guess not. I kind of skipped over that one.
Butch Reed, the natural Butch Reed, served as a groomsman. Ron Simmons was the best man. Jillian Hall sang. The Godfather made an appearance with the Ho Train. Vince McMahon's leprechaun son, Hornswoggle, crawled under Crystal's gown at one point, followed by Jonathan Coachman. And finally, when order was restored, Teddy Long had a heart attack just before he was about to say, "I do," because he had taken Viagra. Luckily, it didn't get stuck in his throat to give him a stiff neck. Anyway.
The Eagles have selected a hometown boy. I guess my TV is slow because here's the difference. The Eagles, so we're going to talk technology for a second. I'm sitting here looking at Twitter, and Twitter told me about 45 seconds, but the guy hadn't read the card yet. The Eagles have selected Joaquin Jarrett from Temple. The dude's just now reading it. Troy Vincent is reading it on my television screen. How does the Twitter know? Twitter is so smart. Thank you, Twitter. I love you. Anyway, yeah, that's what I think of the wedding. I was talking about the Eagles draft of Joaquin Garrett and Temple.
Oh, anyway, Teddy had a heart attack. It was horrible. Crystal Marshall decided the heck with this and married Bobby Lashley, and now he's out of MMA or whatever. So, jumping from the WWE over to TNA Impact. This was on February 14th, Valentine's Day of 2008. Karen Angle and Kurt Angle.
Yeah. I think that was
everybody.
I was moving from February 14, 2008. I was moving to LA that month, so I really didn't see much of anything. So I'm sure it's good. I think Karen's awesome, and there are no relations to Joaquin Jarrett of the Eagles now from Temple.
Right.
Different. But she's awesome, Karen.
I would have very much liked to have done a lap dance from her if she was still a stripper.
I'm sure there are plenty of strippers who look just like her, Ed, that you can find to grind your nether regions.
Anyway, Samoa Joe and Kevin Nash both came down and wreaked havoc, ambushing Kurt and stripping him down to his underwear. The minister, who was knocked down, got up and said, "I now pronounce you man or wife," and he was unable to kiss the bride. The only problem was AJ Styles was standing there with Karen Angle, so he got excited and gave Karen the big kiss.
Oh, and didn't they think that she was actually, like, they were married because he kissed her? Was that wrestling
right. Logic?
I kissed you at the altar, and even though I didn't say I do,
Correct. They
got married, which is awesome.
Was he the best man? Because if he was the best man, it actually would count. Or supposedly.
It doesn't say, and it's TNA, so who could remember? Speaking of things that nobody will remember, Slammiversary 2008, stemming from South Haven, Mississippi, Jay Lethal and SoCal Val. Jay Lethal and SoCal Val's wedding was interrupted by the best man, Sanjay Dutt, George Animal Steel, Kamala, Birdman Coco Beware, and Jake the Snake Roberts all attended the wedding ceremony. And that doesn't say anything more about it.
That's a hell of a party, I'm just not going to lie.
If you couldn't score in that ceremony, then you couldn't score at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean drugs. And last on this list, 2008, June 18th, Edge and Vicky Guerrero.
Awesome.
I just remember the video package. The video package of them on the swing and on the teeter tot. I mean, that's one of the greatest things ever.
Mm-hmm. It was all kinds of awesome. I mean, she's just spectacular. Did you ever think that Vicky Guerrero was going to be this good a performer? I mean, she's the equivalent of Stephanie as a performer. I was having this discussion with me and Yim today, that you look at Stephanie and Vicky were hated females. No matter, you know, their looks aside, people hated them, which most girls or either people are indifferent to, or they're like, and want a lap dance from them. So... for her to be successful in that world is as a heel and be as good as she is awesome. So,
and as the story goes, Triple H was secretly recording Edge, who was making out with the wedding planner, who just happened to be one Alicia Fox, and who could blame him? My God, she's amazing. And the wedding was off.
It's usually how it happens.
Yeah.
There needs to be a TV show where real weddings get broken up and, like, those videos. I think I'd watch that. When weddings attack.
Oh, absolutely.
When weddings attack. So.
When weddings attack. When brides become enraged.
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be a phenomenal show. But we also have an honorable mention here. It says, during the Eric Bischoff era, Colonel Parker and Sherry Martel were going to get married on an episode of Clash of the Champions until the returning Medusa came out and put an end to the whole wedding. I have no memory of this.
I have a vague memory of it.
I barely remember yesterday. But I do remember the Eagles drafted a safety from Temple. That just happened.
Just happened. Goodness. So there is our list of weddings. If you remember more that we don't, please email them to Ed because I don't care. Moving right along, we were going to talk about some famous British wrestlers, wrestlers from the UK. I can't help but throw out a big shout-out to ROH for bringing in Dave Taylor just a few weeks ago.
Yes, that was Dave was awesome. Dave is – I spent one of the international tours I went on, Dave was on the bus, and I learned so much from Dave. I rode on the heel bus, which shouldn't be a shock to anybody, and Dave was on the bus, and he was highly entertaining and so smart. And the man at 55 years old is in better shape than anybody on this phone call. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was in phenomenal shape. I mean, he was – yeah, he looked like he could go. And he didn't even break a sweat, I don't think, during the whole match.
I mean, he might have had his sweat glands removed. I'm just going to say, if possible.
You can do that?
How does that happen?
Anyway.
I guess – how does that come about him being on the show? I guess he's local to the area and you just brought him in for that reason.
Yeah, he lives in Atlanta. He lives in Atlanta, and I know a lot of the guys had taken a seminar. I know Claudio and Hero had taken a seminar with him years ago, and Cabana like knew him too. And he's just awesome. He's good, and he's a great character. You know, it's him and Finley are a great team. Him and Regal, it's like, dear God. I mean, I'd love to if there were one day a six man with Regal, Finley, and Dave Taylor coming to ROH. The work, the Kings and Shane Hagedorn or somebody would be spectacular. So
that would be awesome.
Yeah,
do you need a moment, Craig?
That would be amazing. Because I actually point blank asked you when we were at dinner after the ROH shows. I said, "You guys got any plans on bringing in Finley?" And you were, I don't want to rat you out or anything, but you answered.
Would look into it. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I left to the powers that be. I'm simply an idea person. I say, hey, wouldn't it be great if we did green? And people say, oh, we'll look into green. So, we'll see. You know, I assume he has like a. I don't know. I actually don't know if he's a 90 day. I don't know how his deal was. So, you know, hopefully one day we'll see Finley somewhere, or he'll be brought back to WWE once the whatever has passed.
Yeah, until everything blows over. I just hope that when you do bring him in, he actually does interrupt somebody's national anthem, because that would just be awesome.
Yeah, he should interrupt the Swiss national anthem of Claudio.
There you go.
You just had to bring up a subject that was going to piss me off, though, didn't you, Craig?
What do you mean? Oh,
This lunch that I missed because some little midgets can't bother to tell people that who's at the lunch that maybe other people would want to go instead of just going back to the hotel.
Table for one, Mr. Bitterman, Mr. Ed Bitterman.
So we shouldn't tell him that various former divas were giving lap dances at said lunch?
Oh, if that were only true.
I already know that
really
there were hot Asian girls there, so that's bad enough. So that's just
there were Asian girls there.
There were Asian
but,
girls.
Yes.
And Johnny Yuma's sister. That's all.
And don't forget.
But anyway, let's go ahead and pick another wrestler, Craig.
That's your turn.
Okay, well, let's just go with probably the one everyone will agree is probably the best European wrestler of all time, maybe one of the best wrestlers pound for pound, and that would be the Dynamite Kid.
Ooh. Now, I have a story. I think I've told it on this podcast. I, being a young lad, saw the British Bulldogs very early in their careers. They were wrestling in the Tacoma Dome one evening. I saw some great, great matches of theirs. This one, they were in the ring, in the cage with the Hart Foundation. Double Juice on a house show, by the way. And went out to wait for my mother to pick me up because I was not of age to drive. And saw the Tonga Kid, Dynamite Kid, and also Davey Boy Smith in a car, possibly waiting to score. I don't know. Again, I was young, and went over and asked for autographs and noticed that Dynamite Kid was, in fact, smoking a cigarette. And my little my little heart was crushed because this was an athlete, darn it. And he was smoking a cigarette, but he took the time to sign an autograph for me. Davey Boy had hurt his hand, or so he said, and I had no interest in the Tonga Kid. But anyway, I was crushed at learning that wrestlers were actually smokers.
What did you find out when he was doing coke and crack in the dressing room and feeding rupees to his wife and giving Mr. Fuji fucking steroids and shitting his dog up with steroids? How did you feel when you found all that news out, Craig?
Unluckily, I was in the wrestling business at the time when I found out that all these things actually went on. So I pretended they weren't there and never told my wife. Let's leave it at that.
Was little Jimmy there with you? You know, the little one that R-Truth was talking to on Raw? Because, you know, the smoking stuff?
Little Jimmy being there, unfortunately.
Like I said, little Jimmy was, I think I tweeted during Raw, that little Jimmy was already more over, because the heat that R-Truth got when he berated fictitious little Jimmy was better than any sympathy that a babyface on Raw had gotten in a long time, so...
You know what was great about that? The best thing about that whole thing, you had to have your TV on pretty loud, but there were a couple of fans chanting, or not chanting, but you just hear them going, "Will you please think of the children?" It
yes.
was fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Well, the British, you know, the British,
right.
they're very, like I had written something on my one of my social media things about how I slept through the wedding because it was on at 1 o'clock in the morning here. And they're like, and someone, a British friend wrote, "Well, it's very important to us over here." I said, okay.
Right.
Sorry.
Like I said at the very beginning of the show, it's very important to the Brits, and it's very important to women under the age of 20.
Yes, because they all want to be princesses.
Thank you.
Ed, do you want to be a princess one day?
Artie is.
No,
but I'd like to bang that new princess. She's pretty damn hot.
The woman's not even. She's probably having sex with her husband right now.
Did you see the kids on the balcony? They're not having sex right now.
Did you see the picture of her after wedding dress? It was hotter than her fucking wedding dress. So he's not.
Oh, the conversations
well.
Get in.
If you've seen how his father has aged, that boy will not age well. You know, he was the heartthrob of the two boys, and if you look at him, he's already losing his hair at 29, and.
Mm-hmm.
At least I have one thing on, as I still have my hair. So.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, he looked very goofy. That's for sure. Not as bad as his dad, but.
Yeah, he looked fine. I'm just saying.
You ever notice that you don't see Prince Charles and Ralph E. Newman in the same place at one time? Think about it.
Very true. It's very true. I think I saw Prince Charles at an ECW show back in the day. I'm not positive though.
Was he chanting "He's hardcore"? Because that would
yeah,
be crazy.
But it was with his British accent. So.
Oh goodness! Hey, Ed, how long are we gonna let this thing go?
Well, we only got 20 minutes, so we can go ahead and finish it.
Oh, okay. What the heck?
Did you guys change the start time of the show? When did this change?
Yeah, I have something very important that I have to do during the regular time frame of the show, so I had to move it up to today.
Does it involve the Spurs by any chance?
Yes, it does.
I thought so.
But SmackDown's on. I'm trying to watch SmackDown, and Randy Orton is wearing a SmackDown t-shirt.
How odd. Oh, wait, there was a draft that nobody watched.
Yes. Well, and I just, you know, and Drew McIntyre has come out wearing a Raw t-shirt, and they're going to fight when brands mattered. So.
which was a really long time ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't talk about British wrestlers without throwing out the name William Regal.
Yes. Who doesn't love William Regal? If you spend 5 minutes with the man, you will love him even more. He, in times of downtime, which there are plenty in the pro wrestling business, he will tell you stories that are anecdotes that he could tell for hours. Apparently, he's doing commentary on the new NXT, and I can only imagine. I can't stomach the show, but I would try to stomach it just for his commentary. So,
Yeah, he's just right there just to be, make me want to go back and watch it. So, I mean,
exactly.
But he's always been. I remember when he came in as a young baby face in WCW way back in the day, and he's always been awesome. I mean, it's a shame that he never gets to. You know, it was cool when he was in WCW because they'd actually give him long matches to be in, and he had some great ones. But you know, I guess you hear like Dave and Brian say that Vince just doesn't like the way he wrestles, and we never really get to see him wrestle that much, other than maybe 1 minute, 2 minutes here or there.
And then the last match he saw him in was against Daniel Bryan, and what they go maybe 4 minutes, 5 minutes.
Yep,
just a shame.
Oh, look at that. Randy Orton got out of Drew McIntyre's thing and laid him out with an RKO. Shocking. Horribly
sending him to the B show, or excuse me, the A show.
Yes, and Randy Orton's got a beard.
Speaking of European wrestlers we won't be talking about, Drew McIntyre.
No. We'll go back
to one guy I want to bring it up, and he's from a long time ago. I don't even know how familiar Craig would be with him, but the exotic Adrian Street. He was awesome doing the pretty much the gay gimmick back then, having the valet that he basically had bent over by the apron so he could step on her to get into the ring. I mean, he was fantastic, and he was a good wrestler too.
Now, the only thing I ever read about this guy, and I only read about him, I didn't get to see him because I lived in the Pacific Northwest, but the things I did see of him were on the Gordon Solie kind of news show that he had every week, and the guy was just phenomenal. His character and persona was just so good, and I never got to see him until years later when YouTube came around. So I missed the boat on him, but what a character.
Mm-hmm. Now, they had tried to redux that with Rico and Miss Jackie to not much. Oh, Alex Riley just got RKO'd. That's not going to work out so well for him either. So that was the redux that didn't go very far. But, again, two very talented people, just it was not the right gimmick for them. It's so hard to redo an original like that. And then Adrian Street was such an original. And from my understanding, drew money everywhere he went with it because it was original. Now it's just, it wouldn't be, so.
Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to Rico? I missed that guy. He was a good wrestler.
He works security in Vegas. Maybe Ed will get accosted. Maybe he'll arrest you.
Maybe he's he might be like at the Rio, or he might have used to be at the Rio.
Somebody,
I know he's at the Rio, and I know the Disco Inferno works the door at, I'm thinking Sapphires, but
that's right.
The Disco Inferno does work the door at one of the strip clubs.
That guy's awesome.
So you're gonna find him. You're gonna go to every strip club in Vegas when you're there, right, Ed?
I got a connection in Vegas who knows the strip club scene very well, so I just got a
Mike Sawyer.
Call to him.
Is that connection yourself?
Mike Sawyer.
No. My good friend Mike Sawyer from Tough Talk on F4W.
I got you.
Mike also hooks up Ed with the women of the Asian persuasion that Ed loves so much.
They love you a long time, Ed?
Well,
pretty much, yeah.
What do they love you for?
After I give them a lot of money, they love me a long time.
They love you for the time allotted by the cash you provided.
Yeah, and unfortunately this year I'm not partaking in any strippers.
Why? You bring a lady with you?
Actually, yes, I am.
Congratulations!
It just keeps getting better, isn't it?
I'll make sure if I do come, I will bring my camera and we will stream it live on iwantwrestling.com.
I was trying to get Ryan to fucking get up and do a speech in front of everybody, so we can maybe get that on your website.
Okay.
But we actually got a caller. Do you guys want to try and take the call here?
Someone's awake?
Apparently.
Somebody's listening?
If you're calling from Skype or a computer line, who's this?
Yeah, this is Prince Charles. I'd just like to say, he's hardcore. He's hardcore.
See? I told you he was there.
Yeah, you guys are wonderful, you know. I really like your show a lot.
Is that right? Hey, this has got to be a rip.
Oh, this is Prince Charles. You know, I fucked off the wedding today, and I went to, like, as many, like, wrestling shows as I could find. But I couldn't really find many except for yours, and I've been listening the whole time, and it's, like, fucking genius. I love it.
Well, thanks, Prince Charles. We very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Charles.
Oh, you're very welcome, mates. And let me tell you, Ed, if I'm ever in San Antonio, we're going to go to a pub, and we're going to have some brews, man.
Sounds like a plan to me.
All right, yeah, because you've got to take me to the best strip club, you know, any club that you've taken, like, homicide to, you know?
I can name about three right off the top of my head. I'll take you to Telly Blanchard's old favorite strip club before he became a man of God.
All right, sounds great. All right, cheers, mate.
All right, see you later. Okay, great. Good, cheerio, pip-pip and all that.
Well, we have found someone who has even less to do than us. their time. It's amazing. I thought the three people who had less to do with their time were the three of us. We have found the fourth horseman of this sad, sad little world we live in.
Oh, and just think, Katrina would be here if it weren't for family weird.
Well, let's just talk about one more or two more British guys real quick, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up, because I can tell Craig has to wrap up already. And that
great.
Would be, and I'm actually forgetting the name of one of them, but we got Big Daddy and the guy who was Loch Ness in WCW. These
this is what you came up with?
Asses. Yeah, these two giant fat asses that every year the Europeans go fucking crazy on the board, bitching a day, why the fuck aren't these guys in the Hall of Fame? And I don't know if you guys have ever seen them. I've seen them. I've seen them have a match, and they are the two worst fucking wrestlers I've ever seen in my fucking life. So I guess that's probably why they're not in the Hall of Fame. But apparently they're the most over wrestlers in the history of Europe.
Well, you know, everyone's allowed their taste. I never saw Big Daddy, so that's what I know.
Craig?
I'm sorry, I just got a text from someone reminding me that that guy probably wasn't British because he said brew instead of pints. Thank
okay,
you
we
for
have
that
found
clue.
We have found the fifth person who has nothing to do with their lives.
And that person is Stevie J from AngryMarks.com. And I just got that text too.
My phone is blowing up right now.
I'm glad that Stevie J does not have my phone number to bother me with such silliness. So.
Oh, God. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap up. So, Dave, go ahead and plug the website. I mean, you've had some pretty awesome stuff on there. And except for that one interview with the midget, you know, but everything's awesome. And one of the funniest things that I ever saw wasn't on your website. It was actually on your Facebook where KZ of Rubber Guard Radio was requesting to be on your podcast. I thought that was the funniest thing I ever seen in my life, man.
Who was requesting a video? I don't remember this.
Okay, there's a guy on the board named KZ.
Kid Zombie.
Kid Zombie. And he posted on your Facebook that he's a host of Rubber Guard Radio, and he was requesting time for you to interview him on your podcast.
Oh. Okay, yeah.
If you knew what Kid Zombie was, you'd find it as hilarious as
Maybe one day I'll meet Kid Zombie, and I take requests, and I take cash. Anybody wants me to interview for cash, I'm more than happy to interview anyone for cash. I will talk wrestling with anybody. I know I'm behind on my 15 minutes, but I was actually charging those people. They just gave me $15, so it got me a free meal at the Sizzler, so...
amazing.
Ooh, I kind of want Sizzler. I'm not going to lie right now. Who doesn't want Sizzler at this time on a Friday night? So
we don't have them here anymore.
Did you? What happened?
We lost them like 20 years ago. We used to have one.
Do you have Ponderosa too?
We don't have Ponderosa, I don't think.
I had Ponderosa, but I had to go to Florida to have it. And that's a place, I'll tell you.
Dave Marquez and I and Mike Coughlin, not the one that writes for Dave's site. There's another Mike Coughlin who we call Mike Mongoose. We went to Farrell's Google Farrell's, any of the four people who are listening that have nothing
to do with the ice cream joint.
Yes, and I posted on somewhere just these ridiculous things. Let me find it real quick. There's ice cream that says serves 1 to 50. I'd like to meet the one person that could eat this. I don't know. I'm going to read it what it was.
I used to go there when I was a kid. We had one up here in the Seattle area, and I went there when I was a kid, and they brought out this thing called the Noah's Ark. And it was literally this huge boat, not gold, and it had little animals all over it, and there had to have been 15 pounds of ice cream in this thing.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
They have
three things that have sound this way, and they're called the Belly Busters, and I put this on my Facebook, and I'll put it on the I Want Wrestling Facebook. They have three things called the Pig's Trough for $12.99. It's fit for a pig. So any of the females that I could possibly go out with would be eligible for this. It says, picture this, our traditional banana split, 2x2. Fit for a pig. You'll eat from a trough, plenty for two of you, just you and you. Then there's a thing called Farrell's Zoo. It serves 1 to 10. It is $55 for this amount of ice cream. It says, every creation except the keeper. So it's so huge it takes two strong to deliver to your table. Their knees sag under five flavors of our famous ice cream, three fruit flavor sherbets, three delicious toppings, whipped cream, cherries, nuts, and bananas. And then there's a thing called the Hot Fudge Volcano, which serves 1 to 10. It's also $55. 30 scoops of ice cream, a vanilla ice cream with hot fudge, and it's delivered our own island beauties. There's pyrotechnics. There are pyrotechnics with your ice cream. Display not seen since the 4th of July. I might, Ed, if you come to Los Angeles, we will go get you a hot fudge volcano. And Craig, if you come to LA, we will go to Farrell's up in Santa Clarita by the theme park up there, by the Six Flags, and we will have the hot fudge volcano, and I will make money on YouTube with it. So.
I guarantee that you should never call pyrotechnics sparklers, because that's what it is.
That's very true. Maybe if any of you guys come down for PWG, or I'll take Brian if he comes down to PWG with Whitney, and we will have the Farrell Zoo or the Hot Fudge Volcano.
That sounds like fabulous.
I'm gonna forget to tell Brian when we're going for dinner or lunch that day. That's damn sure. Anyway, we'll go ahead. Dave, go ahead and draw out your plugs. You haven't put out the plugs.
Oh, sorry. It's the three people listening. It's iwantwrestling.com. I did a whole bunch of draft stuff, which was interesting, a little bit of tidbits. I had a podcast with the play-by-play man of the Boston Celtics, Sean Grandy. I always say it wrong. And I did one with Kevin Kelly that goes up on Monday. And then, and not this coming Monday, but the following Monday, I'll have MVP on talking about the New Japan Tour that's going to be in the U.S.
Cool.
Yeah,
very
cool.
And no, Ed, you can't have him on your show.
Can I have him on my show?
Sure.
All right.
Noinks! I've been bamboozled.
Well, Dave, thanks for taking the time for doing the show for so long, especially at the last minute. We really, really appreciate it.
No problem.
And hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Let's go Grizzlies.
Yes, go Grizzlies and stay away from the board. There's some inflammatory things around about you going on Brian's board, none of which are true.
Well, if any of those people would like to email me and actually speak to me about it instead of talking
to me. I got a friend who wants to meet you, Dave.
That's fine. If anybody would love to discuss any of those things face-to-face, if we ever meet, please be very nice and respectful, and I will have an open discussion with you about the things that you believe.
That's right.
Because my email address has been public. My email address has been public for 3 months, and none of those people have ever emailed me to ask. Instead, they like to talk about things that Paul London said in a shoot video that isn't true. So
I should introduce you to him. You actually know the person I'm talking about too, Craig. I should introduce you to
Brian?
Him.
Is it Brian?
No, it's not.
No.
Is it the redheaded kid from the Randy Orton movie?
It's a 12-year-old looking kid from the Empire who was bad mouthing Larry Sweeney and his R.I.P.
Okay.
Andre.
Enough.
that's good. Life will deal him a deck of cards one day that he will have to be mocked for. So, or probably already has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, already has. Yeah. All I know is I'm a handsome man, and I sat right next to Dave Lagana at a table, and he didn't grab me or anything.
I know, isn't it amazing? I'm this predator apparently that did not cost Craig, who's a lovely man, and his wife was right there, and she asked me to, and I didn't.
No. He wasn't sitting next
Thank
to David, was he?
Yeah. Oh, good. Anyway. End this.
End
okay,
it now.
No problem. All right, everybody, come back next week. Hopefully, Craig will finally book us a guest and do his job for the phone. And we'll talk to everybody next week. So everybody, come back next week at the regular time.
Go Grizzly.
Fuck you, Dave.
Be the man. You gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up!
Oh, hell of a K-Star! Terry Funk has gone crazy! Funk has gone crazy! Watch with open eyes!
All shit 316 says I just whipped your ass! Until I wear your Texas ass out today. The game is off to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.